all starts with a root.
Oh, can you go?
An organism.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
A living, breathing feeling.
Bring on to the other side.
A being that comes to life. This living, breathing being is rock and roll. And this is Roots of Rock, podcast edition. Here's your host, Sean Tompkins.
Hey, welcome to Roots of Rock. I'm Sean Tompkins. I'll be your host for the next hour. Thanks for joining me. You know those people that say, I always knew what I wanted to be when I grew up? Those people that most of us kind of hate because we envy them having that? You know this soccer player that was born able to kick a ball before he could walk? A hockey player born basically with a stick in his hands? And you'd think that a guy like Eddie Van Halen, a guy so intrinsically linked to an instrument like the guitar, you'd think that he'd be one of those people. You'd think that the first instrument that he picked up would be a guitar. But you'd be wrong. I know I was. Eddie and his brother Alex, the drummer for Van Halen, they both started out on classical piano. Their dad was a guy named Jan Van Halen. He was a famous jazz clarinet and saxophone player in Holland, in their home country. And he wanted to build a musical background, a musical foundation for his kids, so he put them in piano. But they made the transition eventually, and it wasn't directly to the instruments that they're most well known for now. I'm gonna throw to Eddie Van Halen and let him tell the story of how he found the guitar.
But I can tell you what inspired Alex, my brother, and I, because we were being trained to be classical pianists, and then we heard the Dave Clark Five. And when you heard glad all over, boom, 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 immediately we said, okay, enough piano. And then it was a fight over who got to play drums.
I like the bit where he talks about the Dave Clark Five. Let's remember that and save it for later. And it's kind of cool to know that Eddie Van Halen didn't immediately start on the guitar, isn't it? It took him a couple tries. Same with his brother Alex. He went from piano to guitar to drums. I mean, Eddie started in piano, went to drums, and ended up on guitar. And the guy is a god now. I'm thinking that maybe there's hope for the rest of us. Maybe we just need to find our thing. Maybe you need to pick up a clarinet, triangle, recorder, travel the world, become a triangle god, entertaining the masses with smooth triangle jazz, whatever the hell that is. You can dream, right? You can dream. We're getting into Van Halen on this show. The sheer mention of that band could bring up a fight in any rock circle. There's been a lot of drama in this band throughout their history. We're not going to get too much into the drama on this show. What we'd like to do is dissect some trivia and history and find out the influences and what made the band tick. First things first, though, here's some music. Running with the Devil.
Yes,
that signature sound that you hear at the start of that song, you know, this one? That's a bunch of car horns wired together and linked up to a car battery. Eddie Van Halen actually made it himself, and he added a foot switch to it so he could recreate the sound live. Eddie was a pretty inventive guy. He built his own guitars in the early days, too. He used to take a few different guitars apart and put them together until he got the sound and feel that he wanted. And that's where the name the Frankenstein guitar that he's known for now, that's where that came from. Way back in the early days when the Van Halen brothers first started playing, they formed a band called the Broken Combs. They were pretty popular in circles. They were kind of teenage guys. They play in backyard parties and whatnot. And they started gaining other members. They changed their name to the Trojan Rubber Company. And not long after that, they changed the name to Genesis. They rented a sound system from a guy named David Lee Roth, but they decided that if they asked David Lee Roth to join the band, they'd save money on renting the PA because he'd have to supply his own gear if he was singing in the band. Not too long after that, they grabbed a guy named Michael Anthony to play bass. he'd been playing in a band called Snake. Snake. It's a real 70s kind of band name, isn't it? Snake. I play in a band called Snake. So as we usually find out on Roots of Rock, there's usually some quirk of fortune for bands that make it big. Like, there's usually a number of band member changes that happen before the combination gets to become just right. It's the one that's the lightning in the bottle. You know what I mean? Would Van Halen have made it as big if they hadn't been too cheap to pay for a PA? Anyway, the band found out that there was another band named Genesis already, so they changed their name once again to Mammoth. Pretty soon after David Lee Roth joined the band, he suggested that they change it one more time to Van Halen. So the band name stuck, and we could thank David Lee Roth for that. Later on in the band's history, just before they got signed, Gene Simmons came and saw them live. He tried to change their name one more time after he got them to record a demo. He tried to change it to Daddy Longlegs. Luckily, the band wasn't too fond of that name, and they stuck with Van Halen. Let's get back to some more music. Going back to their self-titled album, here's one of the lesser-known tracks, but a great rockin' song. Atomic Punk. That song's off the self-titled debut album by Van Halen. The album that was a game changer. It changed the way that rock and roll was played thereafter. It set a new bar. It gave the world a new guitar god. A guitar god for the 80s. Eddie's playing was unlike anything before it. And it was Eddie's playing that really set the band apart. Everything else was on point. The drumming, the bass, the rhythm section, the David Lee Roth's vocals, obviously his stage presence. It was incredible. But really, it was Eddie Van Halen's playing. And in particular, it was the tapping style that he'd introduced. Now, tapping, if you're not familiar with it, it's a method of playing guitar where you move your strumming hand up onto the fretboard and you tap the fretboard with both fingers. And you kind of get this effect where you could play twice the notes at once because you don't have to worry about strumming and just fretting with one hand. You're playing with both hands up on the fretboard. So it's kind of like fretting and playing at the same time. Now, some guys had done it before, like Brian May from Queen. There was the guy Steve Hackett from Genesis. Not the Genesis that Van Halen used to be, but the Genesis. So it wasn't necessarily that Eddie Van Halen invented tapping, but he did popularize it. Let's check out a clip from some of the other guys that have done it before him, though. Here's Steve Hackett from Genesis. Not totally in the rock realm, is it? But you can hear the technique. There's a similarity between what he does and what Eddie does. Eddie's is a little more rock and roll, a little more musical maybe. Anyway, that technique has been around for a long time in classical and flamenco playing especially. Check out this guy. Here's an old Italian guy in 1965 named Vittorio Camardesi demonstrating his insane technique. That's one guy, just two hands. Incredible, right? It's not necessarily musical. It's not something you'd bang your head to or dance around to, but the technical achievement is incredible. And to think that style evolved into something like what Eddie Van Halen plays, and then from there into something like what Kerry King plays or Dimebag Darrell from Pantera play. That's what I love about music, the evolution. Yeah. Let's squeeze in one more. Let's do something from the Sammy Hagar days. Here's 5150. This is Roots of Rock. I'm Sean Tompkins, and today we're delving into arena rock giants Van Halen. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out why Van Halen didn't want Eddie to play as a guest guitarist on any other albums. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Roots of Rock, podcast edition.
Hey, welcome back to Roots of Rock. I'm Sean Tompkins. This is the show where we take an artist and dig into their history, their influences, and everything about them that we can find that's interesting. Then we take one of their influences and we dig a little deeper into them and their influences. On today's show, we're dealing with Van Halen. Now, there's a lot of drama that's gone on with this band, as I mentioned earlier, especially with David Lee Roth and the Van Halen brothers. The tension started early on in 1981, only a couple of years after they'd hit it big. Eddie Van Halen wanted to take it in one direction, Alex may have wanted to take it in another, and David Lee Roth wanted to take it in this poppy, kind of jazzy direction. They got through the tensions, but they were kind of rising as they were going along. They put out a couple more albums, they were extremely successful, and their most successful album was 1984. But that album only made it to number two. There was one album that they couldn't knock out of first place, and that album was Thriller by Michael Jackson. And guess who did the guitar solo on one of the biggest hits off of that album? Beat It. Yeah, it was Eddie Van Halen. Remember this? The fact that Eddie had played as a guest player on the one album that had kept their band out of the number one spot was a sore point for the rest of the band. And it came up often later on with the band that they didn't want Eddie playing on any other albums with any other musician so long as he was in Van Halen. You add in the drug and alcohol abuse and things went from bad to worse in the band. Soon after 1984 was released, David Lee Roth was out and Sammy Hagar was in. They went back and forth between Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth, and then they brought in the guy from Extreme, and they reunited with Hagar, and they reunited with Roth, and a hiatus, and blah, blah, blah. It was like an episode of 90210. So let's just leave that at what it is. Let's get back to the early days now of Van Halen. Who influenced them back then? Who can we get into? Remember that interview that I played with Eddie earlier, where he talked about that Led Zeppelin, seeing Jimmy Page play the sort of the hammer-on, hammer-off tapping thing that he was doing with just his left hand. That obviously influenced him because that's what made him go and figure out how to do it with two hands. So let's go to Led Zeppelin now. Let's hear from them. Communication Breakdown. That song was one of the first that Jimmy Page and Robert Plant recorded together. Page had developed the riff when he'd been touring with the New Yardbirds, but he didn't put it to tape until he and Plant recorded it. And the riff itself was inspired from an old Eddie Cochran song called Nervous Breakdown. Here's a little clip just of the riff from the Nervous Breakdown song. See if you can hear the similarities. I'm a having a nervous breakdown. A mental shakedown. It's there, right? Add a little crunch, change it up a bit, change the backbeat, and you've got a Zeppelin classic. Another band Van Halen was influenced by was The Who. I know this because they did a Who cover on the 5150 album of Won't Get Fooled Again. And if you're covering a band that came before you, you're probably influenced by them.
Pick up my guitar.
Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who on Roots of Rock. That song's all about revolution. It's anti-establishment, but makes the point that revolution doesn't always necessarily accomplish what the people involved think is going to happen, because even if the revolution succeeds, the new people in charge end up being just as bad as those that they deposed. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, right? It's been used in a lot of political campaigns, commercials, and of course the intro to CSI. Pete Townsend once denied permission to Michael Moore to use it in his anti-Bush documentary, Fahrenheit 9/11, calling Michael Moore a bully. The Who did, however, sell the rights to Nissan, who used it to sell Maximas back in the year 2000. Now, that song reached number 9 on the Billboard charts in Canada and in the UK, and number 15 in the States when The Who did it. But when Van Halen did it, it reached number 1 on the rock charts. This is Roots of Rock, and today we're focusing on Van Halen and their history and influences. Back in 2014, Guitar Player magazine reprinted an interview with Eddie Van Halen. It was his very first interview in 1978. In it, he talks about his early influences. He said that Eric Clapton in his Cream days was huge for him. He learned to play every single Clapton solo that Clapton had ever played, note for note. Specifically, he mentions the song Spoonful and I'm So Glad. Can't you just picture Eddie Van Halen jamming on an old $70 guitar in his parents' basement, learning and honing his craft to that song? It's pretty cool to think of, isn't it? This is Roots of Rock, and I'm Sean Tompkins. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to go even further into the history of Van Halen to find out who influenced them in their really early days. We alluded to it earlier. Do you remember who it was? Stick around to find out if you're right.
Roots of Rock with Sean Tompkins. Podcast edition.
Today, we're digging into the influence of one of the biggest bands in rock and roll, Van Halen. In this, the third segment, we're going to go all the way back to their early days. The one band, the one thing that made them take the leap. Everybody has one. Everybody has that thing. Every musician, every artist has that influence, that one thing that made them want to pick up a guitar, want to do something and make some noise. In this case, it was something that made Eddie and Alex make the jump from classical piano to guitar and drums and rock and roll. Eddie mentioned it pretty emphatically in the interview that I played at the start of the show. The Dave Clark Five were part of the British invasion of the early 60s. They were the second band to appear on the Ed Sullivan Show after the Beatles, of course. But the Dave Clark Five went on to have 17 records in the top 40 of the US Billboard chart and 12 in the top 40 of the UK charts. They also had the most appearances of all the British invasion bands on the Ed Sullivan Show with 12 appearances. The Dave Clark Five were voted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2007. An interesting thing happened in 2006, though. They'd received more votes than Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five by 6. They got 6 more votes. They should have won. But Grandmaster Flash was inducted in 2006 instead of the Dave Clark Five. Why? What happened? Well, the Hall of Fame chairman at the time, Jan Wenner, also the editor at Rolling Stone, felt that the Hall of Fame needed a rap or hip-hop act inducted. So Grandmaster Flash was inducted anyway. Fox News ended up digging up that story later on. Kind of crazy, right? Well, the Dave Clark Five were inducted in 2008. Tom Hanks had the honor of inducting them. So let's throw to him. He was obviously a big fan. Take it away, Tom.
You want a pounding rocker of a record, a rip-it-up song that will rattle your world and the bedroom you share with your dad and your brother. You want to hear a song that will make you feel glad all over by the Dave Clark Five.
I'm feeling glad all over inside my, glad all over, baby, I'm glad all over, so glad you're mine. I'll make you happy,
I'll make you happy,
you'll never be blue,
never be blue,
you'll have no sorrow,
have no sorrow,
cause I'll always be true.
Hey, you've obviously been listening to the podcast edition of Roots of Rock. Glad you found us. Don't forget to hit up the subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you found us on to begin with. And if you're listening to us straight off of one of the Rogers Rock websites, again, thanks for listening. But if you like what you hear, make sure to head over to the Apple Podcast Player on your iPhone or Google Music on your Samsung or whatever your favorite podcast app is and hit the subscribe button there so that you can catch all the cool bonus content that we have planned for the podcast. Now, speaking of cool bonus content, one thing you can do right now is head over to Spotify and search out Roots of Rock. We curate a playlist of all the music that we reference and play as clips on the podcast. So now that you've heard the inside scoop behind the stories and the sounds of the music that you love, you can head over and experience that music on a whole new level. It's really cool, so I highly recommend you check it out. The playlists are all named according to the podcast that they go with, so just search us out and away you go. And please help us to spread the word about Roots of Rock. One of the best ways that we can grow our audience is for you to tell other people about the show. If you like it, review it, rate it, post about it on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, and help us. We would really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Catch you next time. Rock and roll!